Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
In America's dismal crypts, religious organizations are banned as a gang.
Letters from prisoners describe their torturous conditions after being labeled gang member.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
In this month, that MIM is designated to oppose the political repression of American prisons as part of the Under Lock and Key 2000 campaign, we must acknowledge a deepening of the trend of stigmatizing prisoners for their political and organizational affiliations. In the 1990s, prison authorities throughout the United States initiated what they called security threat group policies, by which a sweeping array of physical or language characteristics can be used to label prisoners as security threat group or gang members. To begin the year 2000, the Michigan Department of Corrections has added the Melianic Islamic Palace of the Rising Sun, a prisoner religious organization, to its list of security threat groups. Much of the psychiatric industry makes a living off of generalizing individual behaviors into a broad theory of so-called normal human mentality. The security threat group policies take the approach of stigmatizing the languages and clothing styles of the oppressed nations as symbols of gang affiliation. MIM notes in this program have reported in the past that the security threat group policies are therefore a means of stifling the independent culture of the oppressed nations. Two magazines of black culture, Vibe and Blaze, have been censored for including gang signs. This begs the question of whether the Michigan Department of Corrections sees all manner of black expression as a gang expression, and the answer seems to be yes. A prisoner in Michigan writes on January 18, "The entire membership of the Melianic Islamic Palace of the Rising Sun was summoned to the control center this morning by the Assistant Deputy Warden of Programs, Assistant Deputy Warden of Security, and the chaplain. We were told, effective immediately, that a religious organization had been deemed classified as a security threat group and, as of today, is no longer a recognized religious organization within the prison. Prison religious organizations must be recognized by the prison for their members to set up services and to meet together for purposes of observing their religion. We were ordered to turn over all of our religious paraphernalia. We were told that any attempt to practice our religion would result in a security placement in Level 5. We were told that our executive leadership was already on lockdown and segregation across the state, and this directive comes from Director Martin himself." The prisoner writes, "It is my opinion that the Melianic Islamic Palace of the Rising Sun has contributed much to the raising of culture and political consciousness inside these dungeons and pits. The reward for effectiveness within the belly of the beast is censure and banishment. They came at us for various reasons. I believe the main reason is the sophisticated level of organization. Any level of organization inside these dismal crypts is viewed as a threat by those charged with keeping us disorganized. Any group that is politically conscious and actively working to spread that political consciousness is a threat to the new centurions and their masters." MIM agrees, "We call all prisoners in this country political prisoners because the prisons in this country have demonstrated their purpose as warehousing the oppressed nations as a means of preventing their political activity. Those who by their conditions have least invested in fitting themselves into the scheme of society and those that are most likely to rebel against America are locked up. Naturally, their attempts to organize from within prisons are also greatly restrained. For this reason, MIM places emphasis on organizing absolute opposition to the U.S. criminal injustice system. We work to support revolutionary reforms that make our work possible, like combating censorship so that we may pursue relations with those behind the walls. But we do not pretend that this system can ever be made into something that will serve the needs of the oppressed by making the streets safe or by getting the criminals behind bars. The criminals are those who funnel the oppressed to prisons instead of schools. As Maoists, we work for a system in which all people will have the basic right to housing, education, work, health care, and political activity. The imperialist criminal activities include denial of these basic needs and repression for those striving for them." The prisoner writes, "The state took away my religious services from the Melianic Islamic Palace of the Rising Sun. You would think that they would encourage such devices for some guys to better themselves. But it seems to me that they do not want or need these guys to better themselves. I look for some form of reaction any day now. I will keep you all posted on it. Until next time, power to the people." MIM invites all comrades behind the walls to send us your updates on the situation as well as similarities throughout America. It has also been our experience that comrades have come to the Melianic Islamic Palace of the Rising Sun, apolitical, and wind up doing work with MIM in opposition to imperialism. We look to sum up the lessons of different methods of organizing in the party's press, and this program is the place to do that.
These are letters from prisoners. Political repression in New York State Prison. Speaking of censorship, this is one of the most repressive tactics administered by the pig administrations within prisons. Censorship is more about keeping us miseducated than it is about securing the safety of the facility. This is a proven fact due to the Department of Corrections soldiers being bent on confiscating educational materials. This censorship system breeds corruption. Although there are policies and regulations, supposedly in accordance with the First Amendment, governing censorship by designated administrators, the security staff, aka pigs in uniform, conduct their own censorship campaigns during cell searches. The pigs seize reading material they think is politically or socially offensive. These incidents are contradictory actions. If we are permitted to receive certain publications through the mail, it is obvious that censorship of the materials should not happen later. The uniformed flunkies act as if they have their own personal constitutional agenda. They even take it to the extent of confiscating photographs of family and friends. They then issue misbehavior reports under the pretense of, quote, unauthorized organizational activity. Though all incoming mail is censored by designated employees, we are burdened with tiers of censorship. For example, I received a photograph in the mail of my brother posing with an innocent hand gesture. It was allowed in by the mail administrators. However, when I was transferred to another facility, it was confiscated by corrections officers during a cell search. The confiscating officers labeled it, quote, gang-related material and issued me a misbehavior report. The fact that they issue so many misbehavior reports leads me to believe that they receive a commission from the mandatory $5 surcharge for any guilty dispositions on a monthly quota. I was convicted of unauthorized/organizations activity and placed on 30 days keep, locked with mandatory disciplinary surcharge in the amount of $5. The hearing officer was biased and prejudicial. There was absolutely no substantiating evidence other than a uniformed pig's statement. I later appealed to the superintendent's designated person's decision to the commissioner of Department of Corrections. The decision was affirmed. Consequently, I filed an Article 78 proceeding, which is a petition that challenges the decisions of the Department of Correctional Services. After conducting some legal research, I came across a similar case where a prisoner's punishment was overturned because the alleged contraband was approved at his previous facility prior to his transfer. These circumstances are similar, and I'm waiting word on my appeal. To reiterate, many uniformed flunkies operate under their own personal constitutional agenda to meet extra-repressive censorship. Nevertheless, armed with the proper education, we can counteract and lift some of the burdens on prison life off our backs. All power to the people. A New York prisoner, 27th of November, 1999.
Turning up dead in Ohio's new prison. This prison opened in 1998, and people are already turning up dead. The correction officers shot this guy in here. They say it was rubber bullets, but there is a lot of stuff going on in this supermax prison, and we need to help bring it to light. They dog our phone calls so we can't let people know what's going on. We don't get fresh air. Our lockdown's 23 hours a day and 24 hours a day on the weekends in tight handcuffs. We'll be out on a visit in a glass cage, handcuffed and chained up from head to toe. There are no windows in this place except a little one in the rec room, and we have an 85% chance to get tuberculosis and all the other diseases in the air. They're really doing us bad. An Ohio prisoner.
Separation and segregation in Pennsylvania. I have been reading the MIM notes for a few weeks now, and I found it very inspiring. Our people have suffered long enough in the hands of oppressors. I'm currently being held at Albion, Pennsylvania, where Latinos are labeled as gangs. Whenever the corrections officers see more than five Latinos together, we're forced to break up in twos. Also, my fellow comrade was transferred to another prison because he was asked by a corrections officer here during a cell search if he was a neta, Once again, I remind you, they label us as gang members. So my fellow comrade responded, "Yes, I'm a devoted revolutionary-minded individual." So for that response, my fellow comrade was transferred into another prison. That's one form of abuse we Latinos face behind the walls: separation and segregation. To us, it's political education to fight the abuse these crackers use on us. Therefore, I would like to start receiving MIM notes so I and my brothers can increase our knowledge of the movement. I would like to give my amor de rey to all true black and gold fighting for the struggle behind the walls. The struggle continues. From a Pennsylvania prisoner, October 10th, 1999.
An Illinois prisoner describes segregation conditions in Menard State Prison. Menard is located in the Southern District of Illinois in an all-white area. The staff is all white for the most part. This is not right due to the fact that the majority of the prisoners are Hispanic and black. Since America is supposed to be the melting pot, its prison staff should reflect that pot, even if the minority staff have to be bussed in for employment. Segregation inmates are singled out for the harshest oppression here, such as 1 15-minute shower a week, no food from the commissary, no TV or radio for 6 months, no contact visits, no phone calls, no braids in your hair, no smoking, and limited property. This was a letter from an Illinois prisoner back in November 1999. When this letter was printed in MIM notes, the Maoist internationalist movement responded, "This prisoner exposes what is true across the country. In prison, we see mostly white guards abusing mostly oppressed nation prisoners." But MIM disagrees with this prisoner that it is worth bussing in guards to include token members of other nations. Anyone working for the imperialist prison system as a guard will be a pig by the very nature of his or her job. Putting a different face on that pig will not make him or her any less of a pig.
Guards are the real gangs. MIM, I'm writing first of all to express my appreciation and gratitude for receiving MIM notes for December 1st, 1999, and I must commend you on such an informative issue. I'm writing in reference to the prison and alleged gang problem. It is first of all an actual fact that most prisoners are apolitical when they enter a prison setting. However, it's not very long after that before one begins to educate themselves concerning the prison industrial complex in regards to race and geographical location. As the convict begins to connect the dots, so to speak, and view his or her condition from historical perspective, then begins to educate his peers who are also held captive, he or she becomes a threat to the administration. You are then labeled as a gang member and must be isolated from those in general population. This has become a trend throughout the United States prison system. In New Jersey, there are no gangs other than the police that patrol the ghetto colonies and the guards that work within the prisons and jails. Many brothers may be Muslim, 5% Nation of Islam, or revolutionaries. Nonetheless, you are characterized as a gang member. This is a very destructive trend because, for one, to be labeled as a gang member trivializes the mission of the combatants. Secondly, it misinforms the public, who is already misinformed, to have more tax dollars invested into supermax prison camps, quote, for their own protection. Finally, it opens the door for more brutality against captives by Nazi-type Gestapo pigs, also being approved by the ignorant masses. It is imperative that we all become politically conscious and recognize that the prison industrial complex is big business, meaning big bucks, again, at the expense of the new African and Latino communities. To give a young, misguided inmate a perspective of what's really going down means the beginning of the end of exploitation of the masses, held within the confines of these retaining walls. For those of us who know what time it is and what must be done to combat this repressive system must do even more. Transform the criminal mentality into a revolutionary mentality. We are not gangsters, i.e. a group of criminals or hoodlums, but politically and socially conscious soldiers and warriors fighting for the liberation of oppressed people here in America and throughout the world. Wanting to say peace but having to wage war, straight ahead. A New Jersey prisoner, 7th of January, 2000.
Security threat group classification in Tennessee. At the prison that I'm currently confined in, 4 of 6 units are maximum security, and the majority of these are security threat group classifications. Security threat group classification is based on the following. a group of individuals possessing common characteristics which serve to distinguish them from other individuals or groups who have been determined to be acting in concert so as to pose a threat or potential threat to staff, other inmates, the institution, or the community, to organize or promote, encourage, or directly participate in a security threat group or its activity. But there are folks that have been here 4 to 5 years without a disciplinary infraction other than what they were placed on max for, and this prison, West Tennessee State Penitentiary, is the worst concerning security threat groups. First, I am a guidance disciple with tattoos and other certified information which establishes that. But I was placed on max for strong-armed robbery, allegedly vice lord involvement and activities. Second, at other prisons in Tennessee, an inmate may not be labeled a security threat group without an incident. Here they consider everybody as being somebody, and there isn't even an internal affairs to substantiate the allegations. An officer just says it, and it sticks. Third, due process is comprised from disciplinary members to the Tennessee Department of Corrections Commissioner. There is no regard to justice here, especially when it comes to security threat group labels. It's a letter from a Tennessee prisoner, 19th of October, 1999.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.